Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
If you're in a transition with your business and how you're leading, they go together. Please call me right away at 1-612-804-8920. Hi, I'm Nancy with We Mentor Mondays. And welcome to the program. Today's sponsor is Sally Doyle. She's not only a bookkeeper, she's a profit strategist and innovative thinker at the business she founded, Absolute Business Solutions. Schedule a profit analysis with Sally for only $99. You can take charge of your money life, get a second opinion with Sally because she loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for, and you're freed up to do the work that you're good at and keep leading. You can reach her at 1-651-208-8151. Today's guest, Dr. Alvin Berger, believes the future of health and longevity is to reduce inflammation within the body through oral and topical means. He diligently examines diets and topical solutions while combining cutting-edge science with ancient wisdom to combat the growing inflammation epidemic, which represents the root cause of most diseases. Dr. Berger knows what he's talking about. He's over 30 years of research experience in nutrition and pharmaceutical sciences, and is an eminent lipid nutritionist and biochemist. He is a world-renowned published expert in the field of fatty acids and cellular, molecular, and whole-body metabolism. Alvin's global research and interest in inflammation led him to discover ancient sources of very particular conifer seed extracts to combat our chronic inflammation epidemic. These seeds, considered ancient wisdom, date back to the diets of indigenous populations and even the diets of dinosaurs, and are no longer incorporated to any great extent into our Western diets. Dr. Berger's discovery of sciadonic acid, a type of delta-5 fatty acid, has a unique mechanism of action in being incorporated into specific and unique phospholipid pools, where it displaces pro-inflammatory arachidonic acid and rapidly reduces levels of known pro-inflammatory mediators. It thus acts to curb inflammation early in the inflammation cascade. Sciadonic acid delta-5 has been studied by Dr. Berger and his colleagues over 22 studies on inflammation to date. It has proven anti-inflammatory benefits topically and is one of the most revolutionary skincare treatments in the marketplace. You can go to SkiEssentials.com and you can check out his delta-5 product. Welcome again to the program.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, it's nice to see you again, hear your voice, and talk about what's important in life.
Let's do it.
Okay, great. So in our first couple of conversations, we've gotten to know you better and kind of the depth of your scientific background to some degree. We've also been talking about what it takes to really develop a manufacturing company and today's international business, handling the funding, the marketing. So we've got that kind of under our belt a bit. And I thought it would be great if you could talk about your other business, LifeSense Products, and inflammation.
Yeah. So LifeSense Products is a company that
Fatty acids. Yeah.
LifeSense Products, we started the company around the same time as the Skiadonics in 2016 period.
Oh my gosh, insanity.
Yeah. Now, the naissance for this business was with no family history, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes some years earlier. And it's known that in a diabetic child, it would make sense to reduce the amount of carbohydrates, right?
Yeah.
That's the one thing you have trouble metabolizing. And yet the American...
noodles and...
Yeah, all that pasta, starches, simple sugars added to everything. But the American Diabetes Association and the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation... to some extent, try to encourage children to just eat, quote unquote, normally, meaning the typical high carb Americanized diets. SAD, they call it sometimes a SAD diet, standard American diet. High in carb, low in fat.
It is very sad.
So, yeah. And so that my son was started out on that kind of diet, and you're learning to give insulin. And you're giving insulin and the child's blood sugar goes too low. And then you give carbohydrates to bring it back up. And it's this constant yo-yo effect. But if you adapt a lower carb, higher fat type of diet, sometimes known as a ketogenic diet, meaning generating ketone bodies, the child can maintain better blood sugar. And one of the types of oils that's particularly beneficial for all of us, including diabetics, are called medium-chain triglycerides, or MCTs. And I was working, I had the academic understanding of MCTs as well. I was actually working at that time for a company that made the MCTs industrially. Oh. So I had both the academic and the industrial and the commercial acumen. And we quickly realized that the products being sold on Amazon were saying things that were just not right. They help your skin, or misstating that they're 100% pure, or they're 100% octanoic acid, C8. So to a scientist, there are things that we can debate, and then there are things that are just factually wrong.
Yeah.
So with my knowing these products industrially and knowing that you can't make them 100% to be 100% C8 and so on, I quickly realized that the products were inaccurate in their description. And because they were inaccurate in their description, then I lose faith in the product altogether. I don't really know what I'm buying.
Yeah.
I'm going through this level of detail because that was, in fact, why we started the company, because I wanted to help my son. But I was uncomfortable buying the products that were available. So we started our own company.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What are the products?
We sell a C8 MCT oil. We sell an MCT oil powder, which is a low glycemic base for people that want to add it more readily. Not everyone likes to handle oils and carry oils, so it's easier to handle a powder. And it can also be added to various sport formulas, that sort of application.
Oh, so you can bring it with you because everybody's kind of on the go now.
Yeah, yeah. So on the go is key. And then we have something called a BHB, beta-hydroxybutyrate powder. That's the ketone body itself. It raises ketone bodies more rapidly than the oils. And last, we have an MCT oil for dogs.
Okay.
Which we're developing the marketing around that right now. And I believe that to be a huge opportunity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. I can see where it is affecting our pets.
Yeah, pets, you know, like any mammal, you know, if they're left to be lethargic, sitting around all day, fed the wrong foods, they're going to develop some of the same conditions that affect humans. Lethargy, overweightness, lack of energy, and even alertness in the case of dogs.
Wow. So with your LifeSense products, you decided to start a different company with that because it's a different product line. You're addressing different things.
Yes.
So with Skia Essentials, it's an oil and you're addressing it on your skin.
Yes, correct.
And with the LifeSense products, they're products that you can ingest.
Right.
That help you to control, like in the case of diabetes, your blood sugar levels.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can maybe give just a little bit of background to the whole ketogenic, keto, because this word is used everywhere. So the typical beginning in the, quite some years ago, there was the period where fats were shunned upon, and the FDA and the other groups involved, like the USDA and dietary guidelines, were pushing Americans towards these high-carb, low-fat diets. Remember, it was all low-fat, low-fat, low-fat,
right.
Avoid saturated fats. And I call that the big failed experiment because it led to an increase in obesity, not the the opposite of what you expected.
Yeah.
And so it's only in more recent years that we've moved beyond saying that all fats are bad, and we've moved to understanding that many fats are healthy for us.
Yeah.
And so that's, this idea of consuming higher amounts of healthy fats in the diet that I term HHF, like high healthy fat diets. This keto word is because when you consume higher levels of the right, of some types of fats, you preferentially form something called ketone bodies, which are a source of energy for various organs. And also the brain.
Mm. Break this down a little bit more. Like, you have transformed your own body as a result of this.
Yeah, so many of us, like, reminding, the audience, so we didn't talk about it, that I was a competitive gymnast for many years. And so, watching every morsel of food that went into my body. So we were all trained that fats contain 9 kilocalories per gram, and carbohydrates contain 4 kilocalories per gram, so they're less calorically dense. So the thinking was always you had to minimize the amount of fat that you consumed because it contained more calories on a per weight basis.
So then the focus was more on the caloric intake instead of on what's made up of the calories.
So certain kinds of fats, like the MCTs, have a satiety effect, meaning at a subsequent meal, you consume less calories. That's the proper definition of satiety. It gets mixed up in the literature. But a food that has a satiety property means at the next meal, you consume less. So to give an example of that, if you had a meal in the morning, like say a bagel and some carby kind of foods, you just took in a lot of calories, but you're hungry again at the lunch meal. But with the right kinds of fats, like MCTs, butter, when you consume those oils, you feel a desire to eat less calories at the subsequent meal. Because ultimately what matters is the daily caloric intake.
What's a typical day for you for meals?
So a ketogenic kind of diet right now in common usage is 70% by calories of the intake is from fat, and 20% there's not an exact, but roughly, let's say 25% from protein and typically 5% from carb. Not an exact science, but very low amounts of carb relative to the amount of fat and protein. And so what is my diet? I start my day with typically, now I have some familial issues with cholesterol, so I'm not saying everyone needs to watch dairy fats the way I do, but I do. So a typical breakfast for me is typically something like a low-carb almond yogurt, providing about 7 grams of carb. Mm-hmm. And then to that, I dump in a full tablespoon of a fish oil product called Zinzino.
Zinzino?
Yeah, from. Why that one? Because it's a mixture of fish oil with olive oil. It's high quality fish oil. And because if you're on a ketogenic fat diet or you embrace high healthy fats, in my view, there's no need to pay the money to concentrate the oils into a capsule. So it's kind of old school, right?
Yeah.
The old days where you took a tablespoon of cod liver oil.
Yeah.
So I'm actually taking a full tablespoon of oil, going old school.
Yeah.
And then I add a full tablespoon, a a tablespoon being 15 to 16 grams of fat, of our own brand, the LifeSense products, CA Keto MCT Oil. I dump that right into the yogurt.
Okay.
Right in there. And then sometimes I throw in some almonds, some other kinds of nuts. That's breakfast.
Okay. And with the low carbs, what low carb yogurt?
The almond kind of yogurt. In general, though, any of the unflavored, unsweetened types of yogurts available today are okay.
Okay.
You know, remember, I don't want to point out a particular brand, but there was a period where yogurts were being heavily advertised, but the manufacturers were really dumping sugar into them.
Right.
You were getting as much sugar in a yogurt as you were from drinking a can of Coke.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why I like Chobani.
Yeah.
Yogurt.
So there's certain brands, you know, you can limit the carbs to, you know, 7 to 10, maybe 15 grams of carb.
Okay. And so that's the carb. What about the sugar?
No, in general, in my personal life, very little added sugar. So we have to pull apart sugar that's been added versus sugar that's naturally present.
Right, like in fruits.
So yeah, and so an example, and this is a point often confused by well-meaning lay nutritionists, that, you know, they kind of lump all carbs together.
Yeah.
And they just look at the total carb. But carbs that are low glycemic, meaning slowly digested, have minimal effect on, or less effect on, blood sugar. So these are certain kinds of starches fall into this category that are lower glycemic, like the carbohydrates in almonds, low glycemic.
Yeah.
Simple sugars like glucose, fructose are higher in carbohydrate, higher in simple carbs, and also have a higher glycemic index. But to your point a moment ago, like fruit. So fruit has fructose, but it's bound up with the fiber. The overall effect is less glycemic carbohydrate. And fructose tends to get a very bad rap in general. Everybody talks about it being very lipogenic, meaning to form fat in the body. But it's always about the amounts, right? Oh. Because this is another kind of issue I see with lay nutrition circles. Things are either good or bad.
Yeah.
Right. But right. To a trained nutritionist, you know, we don't look at things that way. Maybe with the exception of like trans fats, we don't want any of that around. But for most kinds of fats, or carbohydrates, it's about how much.
Okay.
So I'm not going to freak out because someone added, you know, had a small amount of simple sugar in their diet.
Yeah.
It's about amounts, right?
Yeah.
But having 7 tablespoons, that's a different matter.
Yeah. Which is, the pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Butter.
Yeah. So I'm actually a person that when butter was frowned upon through, you know, beginning in the 80s, it was all about avoid butter and have margarine. And you know, few people are aware of this, but during that period where everybody rejected butter, they were replacing it often with margarine that contained hydrolyzed fats, hydrogenated fats, I meant to say, which had trans fats, the same thing we're now avoiding so religiously. So it's a good example, and it comes back to this comment I made about amounts.
Yeah.
So I was always saying, have the butter. And then people would say, I don't know what I'm talking about, and, you know, ridicule me, but I wasn't saying have mounds of butter. I was just saying, you know, don't be afraid
use
to have the little, you know, the butter.
Yeah.
So now I think we've come full circle where people are saying, oh, butter's okay again. And now we've gone on to this, you know, so-called grass-fed butter, you know, from cows that were fed grass, a little bit healthier perhaps. So it's okay, butter.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Any other suggestions you have for those who are experiencing diabetes?
Yeah. First of all, let's pull apart a little bit type 1 and type 2. So for the audience, so type 1 is so-called juvenile diabetes, typically onset 6 to 12 in age, with exception. something called LADA, it's a late onset diabetes that you can be diagnosed with as an adult. So in a typical juvenile diabetes situation, the body doesn't make insulin, or makes very little insulin, more correctly.
Yeah.
But in type 2 diabetes, which is the type associated with adults, associated with being overweight and inactive, and eating the wrong kinds of foods, that's typically where the body can make insulin initially, but your body becomes resistant to your own insulin. So you talk about insulin resistance. So scientifically, there's a difference. Now, in the end, we might be talking about the same diets, right? For both situations, right? Exercise
yeah,
more,
right.
eat the kind of low-carb, high healthy fat diets we were just describing.
Yeah.
But physiologically, they are different.
Okay. With the high healthy fat diets, like so often is recommended, it's the greasy stuff. You know, it's hamburgers and high caloric stuff as well that people are, I don't know. My dad has diabetes and I had kind of was in the range of not quite being diagnosed with diabetes. But anyways, over the last 2 years, I'm now back in the normal range and I have put like fat back in, but with butter have always maintained butter in my diet because I grew up on a dairy farm
right.
And I just felt, but then we have to watch heart disease.
Back to my comment about amounts.
Okay.
So if you're going to overdo it, you know, butter has saturated fat, it has cholesterol. So if you take too much of it, I think it's problematic. And it also speaks to, if you've heard people talk about personalized nutrition or individualized nutrition, the concept being it's a little bit simplistic to think of us all as identical metabolically. So in your example, there could be a case, like I happen to know I'm very sensitive to dairy fat.
Yeah.
And I love cheese. So if I have hard cheese, I can see it every time I go to the doctor, my cholesterol's up. And every time I make an effort to take it, you know, to have less of that and replace it with these, you know, more vegan kind of cheese alternatives like almond, my cholesterol's back down. So it's not a formal clinical study, but I can say in my own case, this is what's going to work for me.
Yeah.
So in your case, Nancy, you may know what your limit is on, say, how much of the butter fat you should have.
Yeah. Like I don't have a lot of butter.
Yeah.
But like when I'm cooking, I'll put butter in things like on vegetables or, you know, a little flavor.
Right.
Not much. But if I was going to, like, I like oatmeal in the morning. And so I was told by a nutritionist, put butter, peanut butter in it. And that'll compensate because I add walnuts and blueberries and lots of other stuff. And with bread, to add some other protein with it. But that's why we have sandwiches, right? With meat sandwiches.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a big bread eater. I mean, the starch and the glycemia.
Yeah.
And also, when you have a family and one member of that family has a disease situation, emotionally, it's a lot easier if the rest of the family members adapt themselves to what you want the person with the condition eating.
Yeah.
So if we're, you know, it wouldn't be very fair to say, you know, to my son, you shouldn't have, you know, bread, white bread, or, well, I don't think anyone should be having that stuff. But, you know, even like just whole wheat bread.
Yeah.
You can't, if you're in a family and you know, you don't want your son being told not to have that and then have your daughter, you know, munching down on bread next to him. So, you know, the whole family should make some
adjustments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that those who have gone the vegan route for one family member try to do the whole group, but it's very challenging.
Yeah. And that's why you hear these stories of people sneaking things in the, right. You know, out in the garage or something.
Tell me again which products for LifeSense products that you would recommend to start out with or...
Yeah. So for the MCT oils have been through many clinical trials at this point. And the applications are more sustained energy, which essentially means instead of getting like a rapid high in energy level, those spikes, you know, you talk about the spikes high and low.
Yeah.
Like you have the high energy, then you feel a crappy low energy. So it's a more sustained, even kind of energy. That's one benefit. Then there's that satiety benefit we spoke to, where your overall caloric intake at the end of the day is less.
Yeah.
And that's been shown in many trials to lead to a loss in body fat.
Okay. So
that's another subset of people. Ironically, here we are talking about taking fat to lose fat, but that's just, that's the way the body is metabolically. And then the last, and this is huge, is on the cognitive side. So they've done studies in some persons with Alzheimer's and groups of people that were cognitively normal, meaning no serious cognitive disease, that were older, 70-year-old Japanese men I'm thinking about here, that were given MCT oils, and they showed an increasing cognitive response in a number of cognitive tests that were given. In the Alzheimer's study I'm thinking of, they gave something called a paragraph recall test. If you remember from way back when, you read a paragraph and you answered questions.
And they simplified it to like three things that they say in the beginning of the conversation with you. And then at the end, you have to retrieve those three.
Okay. So they the Alzheimer patients were given that test. And then sometime later after the MCTs gave a similar test and had a better paragraph recall after MCT oils. So that's a real... That's a kind of result people can understand. It wasn't some complex number I gave, but we can all relate to an improved reading ability.
Yeah, especially before and after
type. Exactly.
Yeah, story.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds fantastic. I really appreciate all the work that you're doing and working through all the challenges that come up along with getting this into the marketplace and really growing with it. But I'd like our listeners to try it out. I'm going to try out the products. I'm going to get Mike and Sylvie with the products, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Love
to get your feedback.
Okay, terrific. All right, well, thanks so much for being here and giving us some insights in new perspective on fat. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks, Mike Cabeas, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Moon Ferrer. Brother from another mother. We'll see everybody next week.
Thank you.
Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. Totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.